I don't know if everyone's going to love to hear this, but it really is the deep work of business.
Yeah.
It really is having that like good look in the mirror of like, who are you?
Welcome to Social Goals with me, Kat, the only podcast that's teaching social media and marketing strategies that actually work for your local small business without dancing trends, posting 3 times a day, or burning out. It's time to do social strategically. Welcome to this week's episode of Social Goals, the podcast. I am so excited to have my friend and message strategy queen, basically, Kira from Handle and Hone. Kira is a messaging strategist and copywriter who's obsessed with helping you find your most authentic voice online. With a unique combination of brand messaging, content strategy, and conversion copy, she helps her clients figure out how they want to show up in business, not just how they think they should, and what makes their audience feel seen, heard, and motivated to act. They can grow by being more themselves, not becoming someone they're not, which I am just like so excited for our conversation because I think this is something that basically like every business owner needs to hear because there is so much noise and pressure when it comes to how we show up online and what we sound like. For you, Kira, what would you say like is, how would you describe this like messaging strategy? Because I think people are really comfortable and they know about copywriting, but the messaging piece they might have more questions about.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think messaging is kind of like, when I think about copywriting and messaging, I picture that like, I don't know, meme, that graphic of like the iceberg. Mm. The copy is always like the part you can see. It's the flashy fun part. It's like, oh, it's like the equivalent of like, let's just do a rebrand. It's like, oh, let's just write some new copy. And that's like really great when you get that moment. But if you don't have a good sense of your messaging underneath that, the copy is just kind of like, what even is it? You know what I mean? And I often describe to people, like when we have things like templates, frameworks, sales frameworks, formulas, which are all have their place. And I love them and I use them too. They definitely come into play. But I like to think of those as like a good servant, but a bad master. We first have to have like the heart and soul of our business figured out. And that's where messaging comes in. That's where your identity comes in. That's who you are. That's your soul, really. That's kind of like what people are drawn to. That's your values. That's what makes you different. And then all that other stuff is kind of like, that's where we add in that sales strategy, that structure, those formulas. That comes later. But if we start with that, like if we start with the templates, that's when you end up with like, oh, ChatGPT wrote that. Or right. That's when you end up sounding like an infomercial or sounding like everybody else on the internet. So it's like, yes, we want to get to the copy and like that's always the fun part. But the messaging is kind of everything underneath. That's who you are. It's what do you believe in? It's who's your audience? It's what do they need? What are they afraid of? What problem do they have that you uniquely solve? What do you and your audience connect on? What do you align on? That's like the heartbeat. And then the copy kind of comes later and it flows from there. Did I answer your question? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it did. I think that's like such a good reminder too. Cause I think people get this like, okay, I'm just going to like update this website page real quick. Or I'm going to like write this Instagram caption real quick. And then we're like, it takes way longer and then it doesn't sound like us. And I think it's like what you're saying, people starting at that top level. Cause we're like, oh, like I can get this page done quickly, but it does take longer to do the messaging piece, but it's like the foundation to having the words actually make an impact and like sell and connect, like all these things that we want to do in our business.
Yes. And once you have the messaging, the other stuff is literally so easy.
Yeah.
Like I just worked with a client who's, I've worked with her a long time ago, but she just launched her first course. She's actually like she's a brick and mortar business. So it's like a really big pivot for her. So we did messaging for the course because we've already done messaging for her business, but this is a big offshoot. You can't just kind of like lump those things together. Different audience. This is virtual. You know, there's a whole, all these things to it. And because we worked together, thankfully she trusted me. I didn't have to like hard sell on like the idea of messaging. She's like, we've done this before. So she's like, we need to start with messaging. Like, yes, girl, you're speaking my language. So we started with the messaging piece and it took, we did it in like a day and a half. We did like a good workshop about it. Once we had that though, when I went to write her sales page, it was like, insert your value prop here, insert your audience pain points there. And then once we had that, you turn that into a sales email sequence. And it's the same thing because it's like, let's start off with a little bit of, you know, connecting with their problems. Let's come in. How are we talking about this? How are we pitching this? What's the biggest thing that the audience cares about with this? it's so easy to then take that messaging and cut it up, not just across, you know, sales page, website, but also email, also social captions. Like my idea of a win is when we start with that messaging, yeah, we kind of like, it's like that cliche, like you pull the arrow back to shoot it forward. So we take a step back for a minute. But my happiest like moment is when I see my clients using that everywhere. Because when you get a good messaging document, everything is like swipeable. Everything is like cut, paste, use this here, use that there. Like everything is like a nugget, a tidbit that you can use everywhere else. So you just end up with so much copy you can work with, and it makes it kind of like, it's like building blocks. You can like assemble,
plug and play,
whatever you need. Yeah.
Yeah. So if someone's listening and they're like realizing like, oh, this is why writing for social or writing for my website has felt so hard that I haven't really done that back deep work. How can they start? Obviously, they can hire you. I highly recommend working with Kira. But if they're just like getting started and they're like realizing that they need to do this background work, where do they begin?
I don't know if everyone's going to love to hear this, but it really is the deep work of business.
Yeah,
it really is having that like good look in the mirror of like, who are you? Sometimes I like to go back to certain questions, and I could even share some after this that I use to kind of guide these discussions. But there's kind of two pieces to this too. I'll back myself up a little bit. There's thinking about who you are as a brand and what your voice is and what your values are and what you're doing this for and what that tie is and your stories and all of that. But there's also thinking about your audience and who they are and what they care about and how they come into play. And a really successful end product is when we balance both. It really is that Venn diagram. So yes, it's who you are and like what you care about and what your brand is. But if you've only focused on that, you're missing the audience piece. And I do see that a lot. I do see that a lot because a little bit of like tough love is just that like it could be the most beautifully written brand story in the world. If it doesn't resonate with your audience, I don't love it. You know what I mean? Like we have to find that overlap. And on the other side, if you're only writing to your audience all the time, you might feel like a bit like you're selling out or like doing whatever they ask you to do. I'm like, I don't know if you're a Hamilton fan, but I always think like, if you stand for nothing, Burr, what'll you fall for? Yes. You still have to be rooted in who you are. So it has to have that Venn diagram. So I would encourage people, if they're trying to figure that out, to ask themselves questions. You might need to do a little bit of that deep work of your own brand. You might need to do that deeper audience work. You might need to do both. The deeper work for yourself, you could just start thinking about, you know, what do you value? What's important to you? What's your mission and vision? I know these are kind of like cliches, but they can really help you get into the deeper levels. Here's, sometimes I like to ask myself, like, if people could walk away knowing one thing, if I could say one thing to people, what would it be? And really pay attention to anything that's like coulds and shoulds, because that's typically like, yeah, well, I have this niche. I hear this a lot. I have this niche already. I have this audience already. But the people I really love to work with are, or like the work I really want to do is, and go there, because go build the business, do the writing, build the messaging that you want to have. And like, if you need to like loosen up with like a glass of wine or like whatever, or maybe just like go for a run first, like whatever it is, like get really into like your best self and like be really honest with yourself. Go there, because build that messaging, write that messaging. Don't waste your time building something that you're like, well, you know, these people pay me, you know, there's a time and a place for that for sure. And I'm not saying sometimes you gotta just be everybody, everything to everybody. But when you go and get that intentional level and you're ready to go deeper and kind of really hone in what you're doing, think about what you actually want to do. And then on the audience side, one thing, a kind of bone to pick that I have a bone to pick, I don't really care at all about your audience demographics. A lot of people can tell me like my audience is a millennial mom or something like that. And that does matter. Especially like, obviously there's some real consequences to like, do they have disposable income? Did you price out of their budget? Like those things do matter a little bit. But there's a quote, I'm going to butcher it, but it's something along the lines of like, people don't read the Wall Street Journal because they're like 60-year-old men. They read the Wall Street Journal because they want to like walk into the office, like with the Wall Street Journal under their arm. They want to like be somebody who reads the Wall Street Journal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, what is it about, you know, let's even think about the club, like the social with Cat Club. Like, why do people join the club? It's not because it's not because they fine, I'll be on Instagram. Or it's not like, that's not your person. It's the person who's like, I do want to do this. I want to have fun. I want to find my people. I feel alone on the internet. I don't like screaming into the abyss. Like, I want to feel like I'm with friends and I'm finding my people. Like, what are the things that really resonate with them? So that was, sorry, that was long-winded, but there's a lot to that. So I would start with what actually matters to your audience in terms of what are they looking for and what are their problems and what matters to them. Instead of like, they're blonde.
Yeah. And I think like that obviously is important for like any messaging you do, like on your website, emails, everything. Like this comes into play so much on social too, is like the content that people are sharing and like stops them in their scroll to be like, oh my God, I like someone read my diary. They get this, is that deeper stuff. It's not that you're a millennial mom. It's the fact that like, pulling out those really specific examples and those feelings and those wants that they have, like whether it's talking about the goldfish crushed in the car seats and all these other like situations that your audience is living like in their day-to-day life, being able to show them that on social is what makes them like be like, oh, this person gets me and they understand me, and like builds that trust right out of the gate.
Absolutely. And I think there's like sometimes a misconception that like that needs to be vulnerability, like deep vulnerability. Like that can be, I don't want to say part of your brand because that sounds so I don't know, like, oh, I'm going to be vulnerable. Usually like we don't do it.
Yeah. Everyone has different comfort levels. Like I always say you want to incorporate part of your personal story, but that's going to look very different. So for someone that might be like that you garden, and that is like your personal piece. That's not vulnerable, but it's real. Yeah. And that's your story. Some people might talk very openly about mental health or these like very raw, vulnerable things. Like both of those are okay to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like if vulnerable doesn't feel like on brand for you, maybe it's honest, maybe it's real. Like some of the things that like that you could say that are even in more of like a professional sphere could be something like, you know, okay, great. You just landed that big copy project, but you a little bit question if you can do it. Like that's really real. And we've all had that thought, but you don't want to say that out loud because you're like, am I the only one? Am I making myself like that is a little bit vulnerable, but it isn't like, here's me 2 hours postpartum. That's not your thing. Like that could be your thing. But I just think it's important to realize that you can sort of like have on brand vulnerability.
Yeah. You get to pick and choose what works for your brand and also for your life. Like, yeah. There's people out there sharing, you know, every moment and the ups and downs, and it's like all the power to them. That's great. Mm-hmm. But most people, that's not their comfort level when it comes to social. And I'm like always pushing people to be a bit more real out there. But that doesn't mean like peeling off the band-aids and like bringing people into that. It's just like picking the things that matter to you and looking for the opportunities to overlap it with what matters to your audience.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
What are some of the ways people can like get this insight and this like information from their audience?
So us copywriters like to use this very fancy voice of customer data term. But so voice of customer data is really just any words you've heard from your audience's mouth, like, or from their fingers, from their keyboard. When I'm working with a new client, a big part of what I do is try to figure out their voice for them. So I'm like, I don't know this audience. I need to figure it out. So I am looking through kind of like formal voice of customer, if you will. That's testimonials and that's reviews. That's things like that. But it's also a really good idea to find more informal stuff. That could be DMs. That could be like, giving you screenshots of the DMs. That's a more common, that's actually almost like the modern testimonial, if you will. That's like the modern day Google review, but we still love a Google review. But also like going and seeing where, like what they're commenting, the words they're using when they're commenting, whether it's on your post, but maybe you're not that big yet. You can go to competitors in your field and see what the same people are commenting on other people who other people's content who do have that kind of bigger platform. See what they're saying there. I remember I had a client who's in the pediatric space and I started doing this work and I noticed that all the people that would be in the audience were using this abbreviation LO, and I wasn't a mom at the time. And I'm like, oh, little one. Okay. We're calling them little ones. So that's a big thing, right? Like if you're talking in a mom sphere, some people hate the word kiddo. Some people hate the word mama. So I'm like, okay, my audience, this audience is saying little one, okay, got it. Like those are the things where you can start to creep. You can even, I would also recommend if you want to go even deeper, you can even go on like Reddit and look up kind of your industry. It's not going to be you, like hopefully there's no snark on you on Reddit, but like, you know, like anything on Reddit where people are talking candidly. It's almost like you're like a little fly on the wall with Reddit and things like that. And anywhere people are speaking candidly, you can learn about your audience. You can also do more structured kind of research yourself. You can do, I do a lot of audience interviews. And what I would really encourage, especially if you are somebody who doesn't have a lot of this data already on hand, is when you do reach out to your audience, even if that's just the next time you collect a testimonial, ask the question, what was going on in your life that brought you to X? And I learned that question from copy hackers. I didn't make that up myself. But often what happens with testimonials and reviews is it's almost like, makes me think of like childbirth, like birth, like we black out all the bad stuff, and not bad stuff, but like it's, you get a lot of reviews that are like 10 on 10, I recommend Kat. And that's really great. But the stuff that's going to really help you as a researcher is someone who comes in and says, before finding Kat, I felt so alone when I was creating my content. Nobody, like I got crickets and da, da, da. So you want them to sort of tell you the before, middle, and after of not just how great you are to work with. We love that. Our egos love that. Yeah. 10 out of 10, like love it every time. But from a research point of view, we want to get the beginning, middle, and end of the decision-making process for them. So any questions, anything you can do to kind of pull somebody back earlier in their thought process is going to be really helpful and will probably fill a gap in the data you have. Because it's a lot easier, like I said, to get those like 5 stars. We love it, you know? So that's what I would recommend.
No, and that before state piece is like so powerful. Because like you need to know how your audience is feeling before they work with you. Because like you're saying, it's great that your product solved all their problems and your service is the best. Your people who haven't worked with you yet, they don't know that yet. They're stuck in that before state. So you need to figure out like what are they hoping for? What are they struggling with? Like what does their day-to-day look like so that you can talk to them where they are and then like bring them to showing them the after state. So I think that's so important.
Yeah. And another thing is like, if all the data you have is from people who've already worked with you and it's speaking to that after moment, you're not looking to go and create copy for people who've already worked with you, right? So we need messaging for people who haven't worked with you before, and meeting them where they're at is like talking about the struggle of feeling alone or feeling like the crickets or feeling like you're so tired of posting and it just feels like you're wasting time and should I even be doing like all of that, right? That's going to resonate more with somebody who hasn't worked with you before because that's where they're at in their journey. If everything is like, now I post 3 times a week, woo, that is great and that does help, it has a place. But if right now I'm drowning, that feels like 10 million miles from where I am at the moment. So it is helpful, it has its place in your copy, but it can't be the only thing. We have to have it all. Like, we have to have it all. That's just like, no big deal. We have to have it all. But we have to have the whole before, middle, and after.
No, it totally makes sense. And I think the tip about Reddit is like such a good, like sneaky tip. Because yes, we can use social and that's great. And like looking at competitors or complementary businesses to see like how are people interacting. And like, yeah, if your account is quieter, looking at some like larger names in your industry and just seeing like what kind of conversations are being had. But Reddit is such a good one. Like if you just like Google a question related to your business and just like add Reddit to the end, Google will pull up Reddit results. That's so good.
And you'll get people's perceptions of your industry. And one of the things that I love to add, if that's okay, the question of competitors. I often tell people, who are you competing with? And there's like, oh, I'm not competitive. And I totally get that. And I love that for you. But I don't want you to think about it in terms of like, who are you like throwing elbows at? Because none of us are actually doing that. I need you to get into the mindset of your audience member and imagine that they're holding like a $100 bill and they have a problem to solve. And where are they considering spending that $100? So it's not that you are actively competing with them. It's in their mind. You're like competing for space in your audience member's brain. It's positioning. It's what are the other options that your audience has to spend money on when they're looking to solve the problem that you can solve? So I just want to put that in people's mind because often I almost always hear like, oh, I don't compete with anyone. And that's great because a lot of, I don't know anybody who's like you know,
yeah,
we would hang out.
Like, yeah, I don't know anyone in our world are like cutthroat. Yeah. Like,
we're not tearing down other business owners. It's not like that. We're not trying to like poach or anything like that. You're not actively competing with someone, but there is a competition, if you will, in the mind of that consumer. They are choosing between multiple options. And the last thing I'll say on that too, sometimes it's not what you think. Sometimes for you, Kat, it wouldn't be like other social media managers. Like for me, like I'll use myself as an example. Like let's say somebody's in this like messaging. Sometimes messaging issues feel kind of like existential crisis issues of a business. Like, well, who am I?
Yeah.
Who do I want to work with? So I could have a potential customer who's deciding between me and a coach.
Yeah.
Like they might not even be in my industry. So you need to think about it a little broader. And that will help you gain some insight into where they're at in that decision-making process too.
Oh, I love that. That's such a good point too, is that it's not always putting two people from the same industry or two products like side by side and choosing between that. But like if your customer has $100, like what are the potential they could be spending it on? Like, is it social? Is it messaging? Is it all these things? Like they're making these decisions. And so then knowing where they are in the before state, you can talk about how you as the solution or your service as the solution will get them where they want to be. Mm-hmm. So I think that's such a good point.
And if you're like in marketing at all, for sure you're competing against a rebrand because we all just want to rebrand all the time. Let's be honest. Everybody's just like, should I get my copy redone or just do a rebrand?
Should I get a pretty new website?
Yeah, it's like all of our coping mechanism where we just like numb out and just like, you know what, I'll just rebrand.
And honestly, I think messaging though is the solution to those rebrand, like, oh, I just need a new like website or new photos or all these things. It's like all of those things are great, but without knowing who, like what your business stands for, who you are and who your audience is, it's not going to have as much impact as it could 100%. If you knew that stuff, because really your messaging is going to come into play through like every touch point of your business, whether it's social, whether it's the visuals, like your copy on your website, every piece of it is impacted by who you are and what matters to your audience.
Absolutely. And an experienced designer is going to ask a lot of the same questions. What are your values? Who is your audience? What are you trying to achieve? Like what sets you apart, right? So often people come to me because they started working with a designer and then they realized, oh, I don't know. Or like, oh, we need copy now for the website. And I'm like, So, I mean, everybody has a different opinion. I'm sure there's different ways to go about this, but I definitely find that if you're in this kind of moment of like, to be honest with you, I'm just going to back this up a little bit for 1 second too. To be honest with you, do I think that full messaging strategy is something you need to do right out the gate in your business? Like the answer is no. I do think you need to spend a little bit of time. I think in the beginning, you do kind of need to be everything to everyone. Yeah. You need to see what you like. You need to just make money, get this business off the ground. There's nothing wrong with that. So just to be clear, if you're very new to your business and you don't have like a dialed in messaging strategy, you're doing it right. That's fine. Typically, people get to a point in business where they're like, I'm a little bit tired of kind of saying yes to everything. I've got enough business now that I don't have to say yes to everything. I'm starting to realize the work I really love to do, the people I really love to work with. That's a really great moment to start looking at your messaging now, because you kind of have enough experience and like data, if you will, from just your experiences to know what direction you want to go. That's a really good time to, that's probably when you're like, do I rebrand? Do I redo my website copy? Do it? And that's kind of in that moment, I do typically love to do the messaging first because it can just make all those other things so easy. But there's never a runtime. You know, you already rebranded and now we need to do your messaging. No problem. Figure it out.
So if someone's in that place where they're thinking about or they're ready to invest in messaging and really like unlock what that's going to, like the ease it's going to bring to all the other marketing and business things that are on their list, how can someone follow you and work with you and all that good stuff?
Yeah, well, definitely you can follow me on Instagram at Handle and Hone. And this is my shame. I'm not the most active. Chat, I'm sorry. Don't come for me. I'm always trying. I'm trying over here.
It's okay.
I pop in and out. We're working on it. It's a goal. I'm in the club now.
Yeah. So, and you know what?
You know what?
Kira's got, she's living life right now, right? As we all are. And sometimes social is not the priority. And I'll be the first person to tell you that that's okay. That there are times where we cannot. and that is okay.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Kat. But I am on there. I'm lurking and creeping and watching reels that make me laugh a little more than I'm posting right now, but I am there. My website is handleandhome.com. Does it need an update? Yes. We're good with it. She's the plumber with the worst pipes, okay? And yeah, come and hang out. I do have one thing that I'll kind of like pitch, if you will. I have a freebie that's there called Their Words, Your Copy. And if you're doing some of that research of like reaching out to your audience or kind of just, we call it like mining your own reviews that you already have, it can really guide that. So helping you say like, okay, copy and paste the testimonial here. And now I want you to pick this out of it. Like I kind of helping you, guiding you through that research process and how to turn it into some lines of copy. And that's a freebie that I have. And it's linked in my Instagram bio. So if that's where somebody's at and they're starting to do some of that research, that could be helpful for them.
It's super helpful as someone who has used it and saw Kira create it with like the genius of her mind. I'll link it in the show notes.
Jamie Bell. Jamie Bell Law. Who was like, this is what I need you to make for me, Kira. And I was like, okay, we were all on our Phoenix retreat, our first one.
And good time. Kira just like made this for me. And it's like, it's super helpful. So I'll link in the show notes. I'll link Kira's Instagram and her website. And definitely if you're in the place where you're feeling like this is really resonating with you today, like you see how it's gonna make things easier, definitely reach out to Kira for sure. Follow along. And Kira, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. Really loved hearing from you and getting all your beautiful brain on the show.
Thanks, Kat. This was so fun. And it's like weird to feel like we're just hanging out, but also working. And that's like the most lucky part of my job, I think.
Yeah, like the cool thing about Instagram is you get connections to people. And then that can turn into wonderful friendships in business and outside of it.
Like it has for us.
You're well on your way to becoming social goals. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review. It helps your small business friends find the pod. Follow Social Cat Media on Instagram, that's cat with a K, and head to the show notes for my best free resources. See you on social and see you next week right here with a new episode.